I get the feeling the Golden State Warriors are not celebrating the same way that the Washington Capitals have been. Like, I don't think Steph is swimming in a fountain in San Francisco the way that Ovechkin is.
No,
that
was the most ho-hum, just, okay, thank you very much.
Maybe
we'll take
Steph's,
our trophy.
Steph's yeah. wife's got the trophy, probably.
She might. Well, she's got a big show coming up, so.
Like that, remember that the last time they won in that building? They were like, we were so happy to, you know, to pop the champagne in the visiting arena.
This was
now
very basic.
Like, okay, we're
very basic.
Here. Goodbye.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline from NBC Sports Bay Area, here's Ray Ratto. How you doing, Ray?
Having the time of your life. What's going on?
Yeah, we're having a great time, man. We're comparing and contrasting the celebrations of two teams. It's very exciting radio.
Ray, I often see you chirp the TSN personnel, whether it be Pierre LeBrun, Bob McKenzie. Who do you like chirping the most out of all those guys?
It's such a target-rich environment. It's really hard to know. I think LeBrun... one, we go back a long ways, and two, well, look at him. I mean, he's a tire fire with shoes.
Well said.
He is one of our favorites, and getting him off the back end of a cup final, especially in Vegas, I can only imagine what LeBrun is looking like right now.
He looks like the inside of his suitcase.
Yeah, can imagine. Have you ever seen a celebration like that on Friday night where it was just so basic? Just routine, like handshakes for everybody. No hugs, no high fives, no excitement. Just, well done, another title for Golden State.
I have, but it's been, you'd have to go back to the 49ers of the late 80s because they had become so used to winning that they already knew the drill, that as soon as the party ended, they had to get to minicamp because this never ends. It's the... You know, winning a title is the hamster wheel to hell because you are now expected to win the next title, and people are already talking about it. I thought they, you know, they got in their exuberance. I mean, they felt good for people like Nick Young and Quinn Cook who had never experienced it, but they know that, you know, just the square pounds of pressure on all of them is only going to get ratcheted up because. The next argument is going to be not about what team they're going to beat, but can they beat the Bulls of the 90s or the Lakers of the start of the century? You know, can I get a dynasty that could even think about threatening the Celtics of the 60s? It never ends because we never let it end. And I think they get, you know, they already know. They already know. And frankly, they had already given hints about how tough this one was. After the game, David West talked about, you know, you'll never know how hard this was, and Steve Kerr sort of alluded to it as well. I think this was a long slog, and they were more relieved and tired than they were overjoyed.
With Ray Ratto of NBC Sports Bay Area, what was your take on Steph Curry's pursuit of the NBA Finals MVP? Because he sure looked like he was going guns out in Game 4, which he should be. You know, the title's on the line. It's the playoffs. It's the finals. But Durant ends up winning back-to-back MVPs, and immediately that becomes a conversation, that Steph feels like he needs that type of hardware. What's your take on that whole story?
I think he would have liked the hardware. I don't think he needed it. And I think the other thing is, he knows how to compartmentalize the things that are gifts from the things that are earned. And the MVP is a gift. It's, you know, it's based on God only knows what from year to year. And, you know, he's the one who had the horrible shooting night earlier in the series. So, I mean, it's sort of a body of work thing. I mean, Durant had the most impressive game going into Game 4. And then he had a very good game again. So I think Curry, whatever disappointment he may feel, is minimal next to the fact that, you know, it's one of those things that he and his teammates don't vote on it. So I think they sort of say, well, you know, what do they know? And, you know, to the extent that Durant got it, he also knows that this is, you know, again, it's an award bestowed upon them by others, not by their peers. So they sort of, you know, they take note of it. It's nice to have, but I don't think they obsess about it.
Ray, what do you make of this talk or Twitter chatter that LeBron might want to have a conversation with Golden State? Do you believe that? Do you think that could actually happen?
Oh, I think they'd talk to him, but I don't think anything would come of it. I mean, for one, you know, the Warriors do not have to accommodate LeBron James, and they know it. And secondly, they don't need an alpha dog. They've got four of them. And what they need is bench help. So LeBron James, as weird as this is to say, does not help them. It may hasten their dynasty's end because they would have to gut a lot of important people on that team to accommodate him. So I think, you know, he'd love to be wooed, but I don't think they're going to do it. So there's that.
Ray, I'm going to take you over to hockey a little bit. You enjoying what Alex Ovechkin's been up to with the Cup?
I don't think he's drunk enough. I have seen pictures of him with a free hand, and that's not what experienced revelers do. Everything else, good on him, because nobody's been slagged as much as he has over the years for not being LeBron James, basically. And so it suddenly, you know, it finally lands for him. He ought to, you know, he absolutely ought to just go hog wild. In fact, any day he's wearing pants is in and of itself a compromise. So, no, more power to him.
I think he's taken your advice, yeah, and he's run with it, man, because the parade is tomorrow, and he's got to be paying even money for going off. He's going to do or say something, English being his second language, although he's got a pretty good grasp of it. But if he's had, you know, pint after pint after pint of vodka, then all of a sudden, I would say tomorrow it could be open season. Are you almost hoping for that, Ray, something crazy to come out of the parade?
I honestly think they've gotten the crazy out of him, but I am fairly confident that very few of them will remember many details of the parade. I think they will start the day with Bloody Marys, Hold the Mary, and get right down to business on a complete drunken day that they've all well deserved.
Well, enjoy the next month and a half. It's a pretty wild scene in the NBA, the NHL, a bunch of different sports. And I think this is the first time we've had you on. It was great. We'll have to do it again. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, the offseason in the NBA is great because it's a tribute to the burning of money, and nobody loves that more than sports writers.
They do. Take advantage while you can.
Absolutely.
There's Ray Ratto of NBC Sports Bay Area joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com. He's a beauty.
Just calling Pierre LeBron a tire fire.
With shoes.
With shoes.
That's awesome. Yeah, Ray, I think I've met him a few times in the rink out there. Like, very, very funny, very candid. Like, I think he's a guy you'd like to have a beer with.
Old school sports writer.
Exactly.
The old school sports writer.
Got a mustache,
type guy.
Too.
And he's been rocking that ever since I've been following him for 10, 15 years.
Very funny on Twitter.
He has the cookie duster in place.
Once you commit to it, you're in.
You're in.
Yeah. If you've had a mustache for 30 years, you can't lose that.